Will it get easier soon to cross international borders? I'm David Brancaccio. The travel industry is urging the White House to let people get back to their international trips by this summer. The plea comes in a letter calling for phasing down restrictions as more people get vaccinated. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Airlines and some two dozen groups representing tourism-related businesses say they want the White House to have a plan in place by May to allow international travel to ramp up this summer. And they want G7 countries, the group of the world's largest developed economies, to negotiate to ease border restrictions so that people can travel with negative test results and those who are vaccinated can travel without a test. Digital passports that display health information would facilitate all of this. The European Union has proposed something similar. No, those simple paper vaccination cards won't do. International travel has all but dried up due to cross-border restrictions, costing the U.S. economy an estimated $146 billion. Domestic travel is already picking up as more Americans feel comfortable getting on planes. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The video game chain store GameStop has been the darling of investors this year, exchanging strategies on Reddit threads. They were betting the Wall Street short sellers were wrong to assume the company would only get worse, and today comes some actual performance data on the company to supplement all the hunches. GameStop reports profits and losses. The host of our Marketplace Tech program is my honored colleague, Molly Wood.
So the biggest problem with the GameStop business model, of course, is that it's a physical retailer selling and reselling physical games at a time when most gamers are moving to downloads. And the reason so many investors had shorted the stock is that GameStop seemed to have no sense of urgency as a company about transforming for the digital age. Despite what is basically winning the lottery as a result of this Wall Street bet surge in interest and share price, the company didn't offer more shares or even raise new capital. This is a company with something like $200 million in debt. Its valuation at the peak of the frenzy was over $30 billion, and even now it's about $14 billion. Insiders told Reuters back in February that GameStop was worried about regulatory blowback or even SEC scrutiny if it sold shares before it had updated investors on its earnings. After today, GameStop will have updated investors on its earnings, and if it doesn't capitalize on its valuation now and offer some kind of plan for the future, you do have to wonder if the shorts were right.
You can subscribe to Molly's work as a podcast or stream her daily report at marketplacetech.org. We expect to hear more this week about $3 to $4 trillion in fresh U.S. government spending on bridges, electricity distribution systems, climate change mitigation. Reuters says advisors will brief President Biden on options in the coming days. This is about jobs and making life better, according to the White House. Today, both the Federal Reserve Chair and the U.S. Treasury Secretary will testify to Congress about the economy. Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York, will be watching.
Powell spent a lot of time last year in front of Congress begging for more spending. But the last time he testified, which was right after the $1.9 trillion bill passed, he refrained from comment. He said it's not appropriate for him to talk about fiscal stimulus anymore. These are decisions Congress has to make. And I anticipate he's going to take exactly that line again today. But the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, is also testifying today in the same hearing. She, of course, is part of the team at the White House that's been putting this bill together. So I'm sure she'll advocate for it. And I imagine she'll take a line similar to the one that Powell has made as recently as yesterday in favor of continuing monetary accommodation. And that is that even though forecasts for growth and for unemployment are better than they were just a few weeks ago, they are still forecasts. And we have yet to realize the recovery.
And AstraZeneca stock is down 2% in London after a U.S. scientific panel overnight said data on the company's yet-to-be-approved coronavirus vaccine was incomplete and out of date in places. We've long known that wealthy people can be very good at holding on to their money when tax time comes around. A new report co-authored by researchers at the IRS and academics at the National Bureau of Economic Research looks at just how good they are. They found that the top 1% of households in terms of income do not pay taxes on roughly 20% of what they earn, making the tax gap between taxes owed and taxes paid even wider than expected. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
People who earn the highest incomes don't just earn salaries. They make money through partnerships, S-corporations, so-called pass-through entities.
Those are important and growing sources of income at the top of the income distribution.
That's Daniel Reck, a professor at the London School of Economics and one of the report's authors. He says wealthy people often park their money in offshore accounts as well. Those kinds of arrangements can be really complex.
And sometimes the complexity inherent in these structures can open up a lot of opportunities for evasion.
A big part of the issue, the report found, is that the IRS uses random audits to weed out cheaters. Richard Prisanzano at Penn's Wharton School of Business, whose work was cited in the study, says that's no big deal when we're talking about lower income taxpayers. But for people who make a lot of money and file complicated tax returns,
an audit, even if it's random, it takes a lot more resources than, say, someone making $25,000 a year who's just taken the earned income tax credit.
Then there are those offshore accounts. Law professor Adam Rosenzweig at Washington University in St. Louis, who had nothing to do with the study, says the IRS has to rely on cooperation from other countries.
The more the U.S. expands its investigative powers, the more information it finds, but the more other countries might resist.
All of this means that the government is leaving about $175 billion a year on the table. That's how much the report estimates the IRS could collect from the top 1% of earners. Leandra Letterman is a professor of tax law at Indiana University and also had nothing to do with the study. She says this really comes down to giving the IRS the resources it needs.
You know, if you enforce the tax system we have, that reduces the need to enact new taxes or raise tax rates.
Letterman says better enforcement would also help level the playing field with ordinary filers who get W-2s and 1099s and couldn't avoid paying taxes if they wanted to.
It's important for taxpayers to have a sense that the government's enforcing the tax laws, that I'm not going to be a chump by fully complying and paying all of my taxes.
Last week, IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig asked Congress for additional aid to boost the agency's body count by hiring more IRS agents and more specialized enforcement staff. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And Evanston, Illinois, in the Chicago burbs, has become the first government entity to pay reparations to African Americans. The city council voted to make $400,000 available to help black people buy homes or fix one up to help remedy half a century of housing discrimination there. This is one piece of a $10 million package of reparations approved the year before last to be funded by taxing cannabis sales. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.